to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, here with Sam Dowling in studio. And we're talking about pride, a deeper issue. It's not a deeper love. It's a deeper issue. And we want you to give us a call at 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. You know, we are going to our second favorite book, which is Facebook. Of course, the Word of God is our favorite book, and we know we go to that book all the time. But it's good to have a connection and to have the social network where we can hear from you and stay connected during the week. So if you've not yet friended us on Facebook, we encourage you, go to Facebook.com, look up Marriage Beyond the Vows, and click the like button. All right. There's not a love button. There's just a like button. So you can click that one, become our friend, and get in on the conversation. We've talked about so many different things. I want to go to one of the posts that we've had here that we got quite a few comments on. And I want to mention these comments is the more you love your spouse, the more they can potentially hurt you. Is it worth the risk? And as we talk about pride and the different things, we know these are some internal pains that some of us had never felt until we got married. That, man, this hurts. Yep. I mean, no one hurts you like the person you love the most. So is it worth the risk? So Sandy Palmer says no. To be with someone who loves you more and wouldn't dare to hurt you for fear of losing you, be with someone who would rather die than lose you. So they're saying, okay, I don't know. They don't agree. They don't feel like they would do it. Gina Monique says, I don't have a spouse, but I have been in a relationship, and this statement is beyond true. But in life, the greater the risk, the greater the potential reward. So, yes, it is worth it. Steve Wilson says, vulnerability is part of the package. When entrusted to a loving spouse, it helps us heighten our capacity for things like trust, respect, and commitment. Think about a blind person. They lack the capacity for one of their senses, yet all the rest heighten and overcompensate to balance it off. Felicia also says, yes, when you marry the man or woman that God directed you to marry. However, it can get ugly when you marry the person that you choose for the wrong reason instead of seeking the Lord and allowing him to help you to make the right marital decision. And there are many, many more. I'm going to read maybe just one more here. It says, the correct answer is yes, but my realistic experience response is with absolutely not. And this is Hawaii bound. All right. So we thank you so much for all those comments. Again, we invite you to join our Facebook page, Marriage Beyond the Vows, on Facebook.com. All right. We're going to go ahead and go right back to our phone lines. We're talking about pride, a deeper issue. Give us a call at 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. And if you're just tuning in with us, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We're going to line two, where LaToya has a comment. Good morning, LaToya. You're live on the air. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're doing very, very well. I'm here with Sam Dowling, and we're talking about pride, the deeper issue.
I believe that, not so much as I believe, but more about sometimes pride can keep us in a marriage that was not preordained, but we're holding on to it because of the pride. We refuse to eliminate things that are not healthy, that should not be, because we're afraid or our pride is so big. Oh, if I end this marriage or, you know, if I discontinue this relationship, I'm going to look, you know, one way to the outside world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of a lot of marriages that should not be together that are violent, such as the gentleman we heard that threw something at somebody. Mm-hmm. Sometimes relationships are not forever. Sometimes they could just be practiced to get it right for that one person that God has preordained for you.
Okay. Mm. And could you elaborate a little bit more? Because you're right. Sometimes our pride, and I see this a lot, sometimes the marriage is over or there are things that we need to expose, but our pride wants us to cover it up and make it seem, okay, we got to make this work. You know, what are people going to say or how embarrassing it's going to be? So are you talking about something personal that's been in your life?
Yes. Okay. I've been married for a very long time, and I praise God for my husband. We've known each other since high school, and I think in the beginning of our marriage, we primarily got married because it was expected. And because of the pride we have, it's just, I don't want to continue to invest in this relationship. And it's not necessarily what's supposed to last forever, but it could just be for right now, just to prepare me to be a better wife, okay. A better Christian even. You know, marriage is, to me, I do wedding and events planning separate from my day job, and I believe wholeheartedly in the sanctity of marriage. And I think that we all should be very faithful in our marriage, but understand the difference between, is this the marriage that I chose, or is this the marriage that God wants for me? Am I supposed to be here forever? And in faith, we have to make sure we maintain that personal relationship with God, because marriage is a very, what's the word?
It's sacred. It's sacred. And here it is, LaToya. Let me just clarify something there, because even though there are times where we feel like, okay, we chose our spouse, but we made a vow. God Correct. Allowed us to choose that spouse. Now, unless there's infidelity, or unless, of course, if you're being physically abused or something and you have to step out of that relationship, and I don't mean step out and go with someone else, I mean step out and separate, then besides that, you need to make it work. Now, that's the case in 1 Corinthians. It talks about where if you're married to a non-Christian, and some people think, oh, well, I made a mistake. I married an unbeliever, so now I guess I can leave. It's like, no, now you got to win that spouse over. But it's going to be so much harder because you did it your way and not God's way. And so sometimes I know from where I sit that people want the easy way out. They're like, oh, I made a mistake. It's not God's will, so I guess I can divorce. And it's like, no, you can't. Now you chose
exactly.
that. You got to figure it out. Unless, of course, your spouse is unfaithful or something, you know, is dangerous and you need to head out and leave and separate. But, you know, those are other issues. But just because you don't see eye to eye or you're hurt, I tell you, God will teach us. I love what you said earlier, where you said maybe you just got to learn, you know, through this marriage to see more of yourself, or for God, you know, to draw closer to God and become a better Christian. I believe that marriage would do that better than any other relationship, because it will expose you. And if you ever thought you had issues, I mean, once you're married, you'll be able to see what's really going on the inside. Your pride, the ugliness. I mean, it all comes out when you're married.
It definitely does. And your spouse is kind of like your mirror. They're kind of like, you know, you, the reflection of your alter ego, if you will. They're the opposite of you. I believe opposites attract. We have something to give to each other. If you're not open and speaking, or you're kind of bashful and the other person is a little bit more open and a little bit more friendly, I think opposites attract and they balance each other out well. However, yeah, faith plays a strong role. There was infidelity, but that's where the pride comes in, and I have to make this marriage work. And it's funny that you said the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I think it's verse 14, about marrying non-believers.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And you know what? I really do know we need to go. And I appreciate your calling in, especially with what you're sharing in terms of the way that God might help us to see more of ourselves so that we
That's
can.
That's right.
All right,
thank
LaToya.
You so
thank
much
you
for listening. Have a great day.
All right, LaToya. God bless. Thank you.
Bless.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Don't you dare touch that dial. When we come back, we have another caller, Kay, with a question about blindness from your past, okay? So we'll be right back right after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. This is Marcos Mercado, the host, and I here with Sam Dowling, a good friend of mine, as we discuss pride, a deeper issue. And we're going to go straight to the phone lines. We have Kay, who's been patiently waiting. She has a question for us this morning. Good morning, Kay. What is your question for us?
Well, my question is twofold, but I also want to make a comment about something the lady said before.
Okay.
Is that okay first?
Sure.
Okay. She said something about opposites attracting, and I believe that a lot of people believe that. But she also said that when we are in a relationship with an individual and we're having these difficulties, the other person is like a mirror to us. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to state that I believe that in most relationships, we see the other individual and we see the strengths that we admire and we want to magnify in our own selves. They may be in the lower part of us, but some of our bad traits are in the ascendancy. And then when we see them reflected in the other person, then we have this hostility. I just want to say that I don't think opposites really attract. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of similarities that attract us to each other, and it causes us to cleave to each other. And it's those differences or those things that we admire that are in the ascendancy in the other person that we find the spice in the relationship or sure. the excitement or whatever. And that's all my comments as far as that's concerned.
Well, I think in some cases, Kay, and this is just my experience, is there are times when we marry someone just like ourselves in that way. But also, yeah. I think when people have a failed marriage or a failed relationship, they tend yeah. to want to find the opposite of what they had. And so if they had someone, let's say a woman that was very hardworking and she was very driven and that marriage really didn't work out, then the next time they're very inclined to look for someone that's very different, very passive, incredibly submissive, not, you know, self-supportive, you know, that kind of reaction because okay. they so it really depends. And I think it's always dangerous when we make blanket statements that opposites always attract. But I think okay. she was just referring to a point just like you are. And I think your point is well taken as well. So let's go to your question. What is your question for us?
My question is about the blindness that takes place with pride. In my own experience, I find that there are certain things that I just don't see right away. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, if I find that I have a season with God and fasting and prayer and scripture study,
okay.
and I really work with it, certain things are revealed. But that's not always the case in relationships all the time. I find that when in these situations, that meekness and humility that we're trying to look for is lost. There are mm-hmm. two things, like Zephaniah says, I'm just going to skip right to the verse, the section I'm talking about. It says, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hidden the day of the Lord's anger. And another one that I was looking at is even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is mm-hmm. of great price. Now, it's fine to read this, and we see there's so many promises for the meek, but one of the things that I struggle with is finding that meekness and humility and how to gain it.
Can you give an example, like a situation where you've been blinded by your pride?
Okay. In a situation where in a relationship and we're discussing something and the individual has done something that's offensive, I'm so busy trying to be heard or understood and appreciated, which to me equals being respected, and that in turn equals being loved. And I think men have the same thing, because respect is everything to men, I believe.
Sure.
But when we're in the midst of a discussion or what have you, that wanting to be heard or understood is in the ascendancy, and we can't see the other person.
Okay. Okay, no, that's a good example. Let me mention a few things, Kay. I appreciate that. In that situation, and for anyone else who's listening that might be in a similar situation, it is perfectly fine for you to want to be heard. It's perfectly fine for you to get your point across. This is when it becomes bad and it blinds you, is when you feel like you have a right to say whatever you want, however you want to, so that you can get your point across. So it doesn't matter. Like, instead of being righteous in the moment and being humble, that we're like, we feel justified. Like, look, I don't care if I raise my voice. I don't care if I say hurtful things. It's like, I'm just going to get my point across because that's what matters. And in humility, we don't consider others better than ourselves, which is what the Bible challenges us to do. And I know Sam wants to mention something as well.
No, that is that's perfect what you said, that because it just reminded me, my wife has said to me that it seems like you, when you're out in the street or you're out in the public, you seem to be the nicest person to everybody else. It seems like you can talk, you're listening, you're polite, you're everything. But when it comes to talking to her in the house, I can just say anything I want to say and how I want to say it. Mm-hmm. And she then says, you know, it really starts to hurt her, starts to make her feel as though, you know, you seem to love and respect everybody else, but I feel like you're not loving or respecting me. And we have to really be real careful with that because it becomes toxic. We start to become toxic in our marriages, in our relationships, where we start to devalue, I guess, the person by how we just simply just give them the leftovers, the crumbs, and everyone else gets the choice portions.
It's funny because I get that all the time because so many people compliment how great of a listener I am because on the air, you know, I listen to people. I'm very patient. And yet when it's personal, it's so hard for me to listen. And my wife, something I learned is that even the way that I carry myself, sometimes I'm listening, but I don't communicate that I'm listening because I'm trying to get my point across. And it's so important for the other person to feel heard at the moment, especially in the heat of the moment. So in your case, let's just say you're really trying to get your point across, but your spouse is so hurt or feels so disrespected because you were just screaming, trying to get your way. The humble response is to say, you know, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't be screaming. You know, let me change my tone. That's the humble response. But the pride, when it blinds us, is we want to say, well, you see what I mean? The reason I have to scream is because you don't listen anyway. And we make it about them instead of making it about us and humbling out. Does that make sense, Kay?
That makes very good sense. But there's also a few other things that I think are in the mix. Am I, do you agree that in pride, there is a toxic, like the other gentleman said, infusion of resentment that infuses its way into the conference or into the communication. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there's any screaming going on. Just even in talking, the thing that you said about the tone, sometimes the tone is off, even if the voice is not raised.
Sure.
The tone or the body language. And you're trying to suppress an anger or something of that nature. I mean, I look at the different examples we have in the scripture. Look at the contrast of humility and pride between David and Saul, between Joseph and his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's reaching out. We're looking at Nebuchadnezzar and the Hebrew boys. And the thing that gets me, I'm looking for women in here. And the only thing I can see that really pops out to me is Abigail, opposite to Nabal, and that triangle. Even David was filled up with pride and anger against Nabal.
Mm-hmm.
And Abigail's reaction brought him back to a different spirit. And when we look at Elisha,
sure,
and how he dealt with the widow and Jezebel, the contrast there.
Okay.
I'm just looking again for that meekness and that humility and how to gain it. There's not much there to really give somebody something to think.
It's like searching, doing a lot of research.
But you're looking for characters. Well, Sarah is probably the best example, where it says that she even called her husband master, and mm-hmm. the humility that she had. I mean, that's pretty intense. I mean, in today's society, we would think that that's insane, but it was that she trusted her husband so much, and she was humble. And so, but anyway, Kay, there's a lot there. I want to encourage you. There's a ton of scriptures, even in Proverbs, where it talks about the quarrelsome wife, and it's like constant
dropping.
Yes, exactly. And you know what's interesting about that, and if you really want to get technical, it doesn't say that about the husband. It says that about the wife. You'd never see a scripture where it says that it's the quarrelsome husband, but it keeps saying it's the wife. And I think that there's just something about women that when you want to get your point across, you can really use that as a tool. Where men, a lot of times, we just shut down emotionally. I'm not saying it's any better, but a lot of times men, In general, I'm not saying every situation, but in general, I know a lot of men who would just shut down, and they stop being like that drippy faucet. They actually can easily just kind of block their emotions and shut the other person off, which is equally wrong. But really being able to study that out. But Kay, we do want to take a few more calls here. We do appreciate you calling in, and really a lot that you had to share about how pride blinds us. It's so true. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. God bless, Kay.
Bye-bye.
All right. What were you saying?
No, I was sitting there thinking. I shared with many people about this infamous $12 check. I was going to divorce my wife over $12, and that kind of reminds me.
The divorce would cost a lot more.
Well, it would cost a lot more, but it was the principle. It was $12, and I was going to divorce her over $12, and that was because I don't know if we have another call. We have time, or.
No, go ahead. Share real quick. I have a question, so go ahead.
Yeah. This it was real simple. It was that, you know, earlier in our first year of marriage, we didn't really have a lot of money and had a lot of bills out there. And so we were in church and we were going to get this one book to read. And she said, Sam, go get this one book. And it's $12. We have other bills and outstanding checks that haven't cleared yet. So I go to the book stand and table, and I ended up standing in line, getting nervous, and everyone's crowding around me. Finally, I had the checkbook. And he said, Sam, hurry up. I ended up looking around. At that moment, I forgot how to spell the word 12. And so I sat there and panicked a little bit. And I looked around. I said, you know what? I can spell 24. So I wrote a check out for $24. And so then I brought two books back to my wife. She said, why'd you do this? And I said, because I wanted this other book. Because I wanted this book and I wanted to read it. And she goes, but I told you, we have very little money and we have other bills. And I got real angry, argued with her. I said, I'm a grown butt man. I can do what I want to do. And, you know, I can do everything. And so we argued all the way from church, all the way home, all through the night. And it was the point where it was being toxic. I was saying a lot of stuff. And I said, you know what? Maybe we weren't ready for each other. Maybe we shouldn't have got married. We should get a divorce. We can cut our losses early. You know, you can go your way. I can go my way. And it got really bad. And then my wife looked at me. She cried. And then I looked at her and I said, you know what? After she went to the bathroom, I got her out of the bathroom. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, this would happen. You know, I forgot how to spell the word 12, and I just kind of got embarrassed, and I wrote a check for $24. And she said, is that it? We could have talked about that and laughed about that, but it was so toxic. And that was my pride. I didn't want to, you know, let her know that happened. It was my embarrassment and my pride over $12.
All right, well, appreciate you sharing that story. Very transparent. And, man, you keep saying grown butt man. I mean, your butt is going to get bigger and bigger, guys. You know, be careful there. But I think that there are so many examples where we're just really proud. You know, I'll share the one. This one's a little funny, but I was with my wife. And anyone who knows my wife is petite. She's pretty petite. And we were with a friend who happened to be a plus-size woman. And we were at the mall, and her friend... I say our friend, but, you know, it's really a really close friend to my wife. She wanted to buy something at that plus size store. And, you know, a lot of times now, for some reason, that you have really nice, stylish clothes for plus size women, which is fine. And so we're in the store just kind of waiting for our friend to purchase a few things. And there was this really nice outfit that I mentioned. I said, honey, you look at that. That's really nice. He's like, yeah, it's nice. And I said, honey, why you don't see if they have your size? And I didn't even realize that we're in a plus size store. You know, and so, and she's like, no, they don't have my size. And I'm like, how do you know they don't have your size? And I'm like, why won't you go check? Why want me to ask? Why you don't want to? And I started getting kind of a little, you know, not screaming, but loud enough where people around me are looking at, are you serious? I mean, look at her. Like, they thought it might have been some comedy skit or something. But the reality was I wouldn't listen. And she was trying to tell me in a real subtle way, like, honey, they don't have my size. And I'm like, I'm tired when you don't want to look, and are you afraid, come on, I'll get it for you. And she had to like really kind of whisper in my ear, almost like, this is a plus size store. And I'm like, oh, I felt so embarrassed. But my pride was blinding me, even to something that simple, where potentially even that, we laugh about it, but that can hurt a lot of other people because they're thinking, you know, are you, you know, insensitive or what's going on? And so pride makes us stupid. When we feel like we have to be right or we got to get our point across so badly that sometimes we don't listen, because you cannot listen and talk at the same time. Right. I don't care what anyone says. You cannot. We're not built to multitask that way. We could only do one thing at a time. And so I want to encourage all of us. We are still here talking about beyond the pride, a deeper issue. So, you know, do you know how to pick your battles or do you simply want to win? You know, that is the problem right there. So give us a call, 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. You know, Sam, we've had all types of calls today where people have mentioned their abuse and even how sometimes when they go to counseling, and I know you and I have experienced that just talking to people, there are times where people, you know, they know what we're telling them is true. They right. know it's right. But everything in their bones wants to rebel. I mean, what do you think? And I know the answer, but I'm playing devil's advocate here. What do we tell people when they just won't listen to wise counsel?
Get out? No, no.
Get out. Well, get out. That, we're definitely tempted. But, you know, situation, you know, someone is having an affair.
Right.
They know it's ruining their marriage. They say right. they don't want it. And so you say, okay, change your number. Cut off this relationship.
Right, right.
And they're like, well, you know, I don't think I need to change my number, or I don't see why I can't still be a friend.
Right. It's that resistance. It's that resistance. And it's basically, in that situation, it's whatever it requires you to cut it off, to end it. And it's extreme. It's extreme. It's, you know, if the spouse needs them to change their number, to get off the internet, stop looking at porn. If porn, whatever, is the issue and the internet is the problem or the cause, then we tell people you have to go to the extreme. You have to turn around. Not a 360, but it has to be a 180. Turn away from it. Leave it. Flee from it. And that's what we try to tell people, basically. It's you have to make that decision that you want to change. You can't baby it along. You can't drip it like a faucet. Drip, drip, sure. drip. You got to solve the problem.
And something I want to mention here, and if you have little ones, I want to encourage you. We're having an adult conversation, and something I'm going to mention now, you really might not want your kids to listen to. And so please take them out the room. There have been situations where we've gotten with couples or we've gotten with someone, and they want help because their spouse is addicted to sex or pornography, or in some cases, I know not too long ago, there was a situation where someone was really struggling with masturbation, and their attitude was like, no, that's not an issue. I can stop it whenever I want. But, you know, and of course, I would never disclose, you know, who that was or for people to feel singled out in any way, because this is there's more than one situation like this what we've encountered. But in some of these cases, you know, when people feel like their sin is out of control, yet they want to say that they're in control, even though it's destroying everything around them. They're like, oh, I can stop. But instead of stopping, they're gratifying themselves. And I want to be clear about this because we've had this topic of masturbation before where people are like, is it wrong? Is it sin? Well, look, anything that is destroying your marriage, you can automatically know it's not right. It's not from God. Okay, and I'm not talking about because you love God so much, that's destroying your marriage. We're talking about sinful, you know, behavior, really negative things that come into your relationship because you won't stop doing it. So mm-hmm. whether that's hanging out with the wrong crowd, whether right. that's drinking, whether that's drugging, whether that's, you know, pornography, whatever it is, and you cannot stop, you got to humble out. But part of humbling out is just getting open and transparent. So don't come and say, oh, I need help, but then try to sugarcoat and say, oh, no, it's really not a problem. Admit that problem. Get open. Get vulnerable so that we can help you.
Right. No. Totally agree. Totally definitely agree.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's go to line two where Karen has a personal comment, which is great. Karen, good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
I'm sorry?
You're live on the air. Welcome.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment.
Karen, yeah, just turn your radio all the way off, please.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. First of all, good morning, Marcus and guests.
Yes,
good morning.
Name is Sam.
Good morning. I just turned my radio on, actually, and you're talking about a subject that's dear to my heart as far as health and nutrition. And I just wanted to make a comment concerning the way the body works, and it's very important for us to know as far as the cycles of the body when it comes to eating. The reason it's not good to eat anything between, like, after 8, 9 o'clock in the evening is
I'm sorry, Karen, let me just interject for a minute. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we're talking about pride.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You must have misunderstood something. No, that's fine.
So what kind of pride do you have, Karen?
Well, Well, a good way to be humble.
Maybe I need to talk about pride. I was just humbled.
That's what I was going to say. You're very humble right now.
I must have turned the wrong station on. Wow.
See, you should never touch that dial. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. No, no,
okay.
I'm so sorry.
No. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for your humility. And,
well,
and
I
you know
stand
what?
Humbly before you.
Well, here's the thing. That's a perfect illustration of how
yes.
when we're wrong, because you could have easily gotten pride. Like, no. I know what I heard.
And, right. Like, no. Hey, what would I argue against to get the All host right. of the show?
All
but
right,
anyway,
Karen. Well, you'd be surprised how many people do that. So thank you so much, Karen.
You're welcome.
You
God
have a blessed
bless
day.
You. Let me turn the right station on
there
now.
You go.
Wait, no, you have the right station. Stay right here.
But yeah, I'm going to turn it on my radio so I can listen.
There you go, Karen. Well, you have a great day.
And be humbled.
I appreciate it, Karen. Take
but care. let me make a comment on pride then.
Sure. If you could just be quick, but that would be great.
I will be real quick. Well, I haven't heard what else has been said on your show, but I will say from personal experience, I know it's very important. Well, the word talks about pride so much and the need to humble ourselves. And in marriage, so important, because one thing in marriage, the husband and wife, we're tools for one another, tools mm-hmm. for growth. And in order to grow, of course, you have to be humble, and you have to humble yourself. And husbands and wives both have to allow themselves to be humble enough to even listen to their spouse and gain the growth that they need to, that God would have them to experience through their spouse. So I would say that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Karen.
You're
well,
welcome.
Good
God bless
back,
you.
And we appreciate you calling in.
Bye-bye.
Take care. God bless. All right, so we're going to go to, we have a special a guest here on in studio, Sam Dowling, but we have another guest. We have a couple that's calling in. So first of all, I just want to welcome Pastor Eric Simmons.
Yep.
Good morning. How are you, brother? Are you there? Can you hear me? All right, Eric. Well, I know we briefly discussed, you know, you just calling in for a few minutes here and you and your wife so that you could, I think your wife's name is Tiffany. Is that correct?
Yes,
you're on phone. All right, great. So you're both on the line. So welcome, Eric and Tiffany Simmons. And we're talking about pride, a deeper issue, and how it can really destroy our relationships if we don't take the humble road. And I know not too long ago, my wife and I and you guys, we had an opportunity to sit down, grab some lunch. We had a lot of fun. And you were able to share just a little bit of some of the struggles that you had in your relationship and the humble road that you took to get help, to get some kind of intervention. So if you can share a little bit about that, and welcome to our program.
Yeah, sure. And we definitely did have a wonderful time with you and your wife. We enjoyed ourselves. Basically, as you know, pastor and first ladies, I think sometimes, you know, people have this perception that, you know, as married couples that we never have any issues or struggles, and all of us go through something, mm-hmm. whether it's conflicting schedules, whether it's communication, relationship problems, or, you know, if there are other deeper issues. And what pride really does in, you know, relationship is it causes a disconnect. If you have two people that are prideful, then you never have anyone that's willing to apologize or admit that they've had some mistakes or they've done some things wrong. And so, you know, pride in any relationship will destroy it. You know, the Bible talks about pride going before the fall. And, you know, when we look at with Adam and how sin entered the world and they were naked at one point and not ashamed, and then after sin comes in, all of a sudden that there's pride. I think that when we're in a relationship and we can't be open and honest with one another and we can't communicate to one another and we can't love each other through all of our issues and all of our stuff, it becomes difficult, Marcus.
Sure.
It really becomes difficult.
And Eric, so would you mind sharing, you know, either yourself or your wife, Tiffany, just sharing of what happened and what got you to the point of saying, I need to humble out? Because I know even part of our conversation was some of the measures that you took, and some people might consider them extreme, but you were radical about, okay, we need to get this fixed. We need to get help. And I love what you guys did, because you took the initiative, you took the time, the effort, the money. I mean, everything that you did to really pour into your marriage to salvage it, which I think is very commendable. And so if you don't mind sharing a little bit about that and what got you to that point and what you did.
Yeah, I'll let my wife interject. We basically went to a retreat. It was a time for us just to get away from the church. You know, away from people, away from the kids, thank God, and away from stuff, and kind of take some Eric and Tiffany time together, but just refocus and reshape. You know, we've been married for 14 years, known each other for about 16 years, and sometimes you need that charging tool. You need that chance to sort of restructure and rebuild. But I'll let my wife interject on
sure.
more on that.
No, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. All right, Tiffany, go ahead.
Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning.
I think the ultimate thing that helped us was to realize that marriage is not a contract. It is a covenant. And once we realized that our marriage was a covenant unto each other and to God, that we knew that there was no negotiations. It was, we are sticking this out to the very bitter end. And that is what God does for us. We can sin against him 70 times 70. He still forgives us over and over again. And he's not prideful towards us. But we have a covenant with him. And so we have to have a covenant in our marriage and realize that it's not a contract. When you have a contract, if one partner doesn't do what they're supposed to do, you break the contract and you say, well, you didn't do your part, so I'm out. And we realize that God does not do that with us. And so in a marriage, we have to treat it as a covenant. And this is what we are covenant together. And we made this commitment. And Eric and I are, you know, ride and die. And we are in it, you know, together to win it. And there's no pride. And when if someone becomes prideful, we pray about it and we realize, you know, this is not of God. And we're
going to,
you know, get through this. So
one of the reasons, and I appreciate it, one of the reasons I wanted you to call in is because sometimes we have people who are in the ministry, you know, they're in the pulpit, they're pastors, mm-hmm. they're leading, you know, and they do want to come across and fake the funk, like everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
And people, first right. of all, people know there's something wrong. You know, I've seen it where couples who are in the ministry, they find ways to like drive separate cars. You know, they leave separately mm-hmm. after church. Like, you don't even see them together. You have an event, and the husband and wife, you know, it's obvious that there's something going on. And instead of being mm-hmm. open and having mature people in the congregation say, you know, we need some help ourselves. You know, Sam mm-hmm. was jokingly saying earlier, but Sam is a member of my church, or, you know, not my church, but, you know, the church where I minister at. And Sam is a great friend where him and his wife, we talk about things, but we have an equal open relationship where I'm not just the one helping him. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. it ends up being where I help him a lot, but there are times where I can go to Sam and say, brother, look, I'm going through this. This is hard right now. I need you to pray for me. Or, man, I'm really annoyed today, you know, with my wife or whatever, you know, just being open so that we can get the help. Or sometimes even as couples. I know we had a road trip one time and my wife, his wife, him, they were all sharing about things that I can do better. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. it was painful, but it was good. And I'm the one driving.
It was
so,
a good long trip.
It was
I love
a good
it.
Long trip, but it was good. And so what I wanted to share and really wanted you guys to commend you, that you got to the point where you said you shared with your church, like, we're going through something. Our marriage is on the rocks. We're struggling, mm-hmm. but we're mm-hmm. going to get through this. We need prayer, but we're not going to hide this. We're going to put it out
mm-hmm.
there. And then I think when you went to this retreat, it was like an intervention, wasn't it? It was a few days of just you and the both of you getting with a couple mm-hmm. that really counseled you for a few days and helping mm-hmm. you. You know, kind of a couples in crisis counseling session. Was that correct?
Yeah. But they also do just general, you know, tune-up. So even if you're not, it's Chris and Juanita, that's under his wings ministries, mm-hmm. and they basically have a retreat center out in upstate New York area. And, you know, they don't just do, you know, like crisis. It's just sure. like if you just need a tune-up, a refresher or mm-hmm. something like that, you know, you can kind of go out there and relax and get to be with one another. But I would say this, that if there any pastor that would ever tell you that they don't go through anything, mm-hmm. it would be a lie, because I think that as pastors, most of us go through stuff with our family, our children, particularly before Sunday. And one of the reasons is because, you know, the enemy knows if he can distract the messenger, he's going to distract the message.
Absolutely.
So there are a lot of pastors, I'm sure, that will attest to every Sunday. There have been times when, you know, their spouse and them have gone through something and they preach through it and mm-hmm. they've done that. And some of that is a lot of pride also. You know, we don't want to appear vulnerable to people. I was watching the basketball game with Miami Heat, mm-hmm. and LeBron James took a big hit because he was walking around limping, and people were like, he should have toughed it out. But it took a lot for him to say, listen, I'm in pain. Sure. I'm not going to fake it. It hurts, but I'm still going to keep playing. And I think that that's what the example should be set. You know, a lot of times as men, we're in positions where we're told not to show pain, not to show emotion, not to cry, not to do this, and that is a form of pride.
Sure.
And what happens is those areas make you end up going to jail, make you do drugs, and make you do other things if you don't use God as the outlet to get rid of that stuff.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiffany, what did you want to say? Any last words here? Because we're about kind of wrapping up here. We're about ending our program in just a moment.
Yeah, just to piggyback on what my husband was saying, that, you know, even with our church, we try to be as transparent as possible to other couples in the church, married couples, and let them know that, you know, we are not perfect. And, you know, if we have issues, you know, they can kind of see, okay, well, Pastor Verzady has issues, and you know what, our issues are not as bad or could be worse. Or, you know, just to know that we are not standing before them trying to be perfect. That, you know, we can be a testimony to another couple. And, you know, that's what Eric and I really realized going through what we went through, that, you know what, it's not even about us. Mm-hmm. It could be about someone else's blessing.
Absolutely.
So we are here to be a testimony to another couple and to be able to say, you know what, we had some rough times, but God.
Amen.
And we tried to build our church around that, Marcos, you know, kind of like laid-back kind of ministry. That's how we tried to do ministry. It's sort of a touch and feel. It's not all churchy. You know, sure. I mean, it's okay to have that, but that's just what God has called us to be at that ministry. And we try to be transparent with people, whether it's the preaching, whether it's in other ministries. And, you know, we have a particularly young ministry as a result of that, but that's one of our approaches to ministry. So
okay. Well,
it's helped us a lot.
Well, Eric and Tiffany, thank you so much for calling in, and we wish you the best and continue to be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look forward to hanging out again and having some time with you guys. It was a lot of fun. All right. Well, you guys have a nice day. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, Sam, we're pretty much at the end of our show, but not the end forever. We'll be back next week.
That's good.
So we want to make sure that you tune in and spread the word. If you want to listen to any past archive shows, you can go to praisephilly.com or praisecharlotte.com and just look for me, Marcos Mercado, in Marriage Beyond the Vows. Don't forget, we will have a special time. And Sam, I know you want to share just a little bit here, a special time talking about Beyond What? What are we talking about?
Beyond pride?
Well, look, I want to encourage you to do this. And Sam is looking at me like, oh, we're puzzled. We want to encourage you this. Be humble.
Yep.
Okay? It's so important. Humility goes a long, long way. We want to give a special shout out to our producers, Larry here in Philadelphia, and Ron, Big Ron in Charlotte. Thank you so much for all you do behind the scenes and, you know, keeping us here on the air live and sounding good. Amen. All right. Well, you guys have a blessed and, like Tiffany always says, have a peaceful, positive, and productive week.